Namaste, and welcome to this theory session on contemplation. And I want to take these moments in these videos to try to explain a little bit more about contemplation, how it works, why it works, and why it's one of the most effective practices I've ever found for releasing karmic patterns in general. So one of the questions I get asked more than anything about contemplation is something like, how do I find the right question? And there are many ways to find the right question. I'll go through some of these in a moment. But I really want to just go over something very quickly first, and that is, it's not that important that you find the right question, because if you are in a kind of open stance of wanting to see and wanting to experience all the answers to any question, then the answers are going to become more and more pleasant, phenomenal answers anyway. And at some point, you're going to release some emotions, have some epiphanies in that process. And you're also going to begin to notice that which is in the background of our experience, the noumenon, the real self, the awareness, beingness, consciousness, whatever we're going to call it, silence, any of those names. So it's more the open stance, the curiosity that we're really fostering with a question. So if we don't feel, if you're struggling with an emotion or a karmic pattern, and you don't quite feel that you have found the right question, then begin from where you are with whatever question you do have, and it will evolve from there as you're watching the guided contemplation sessions that we've been recording with students live and putting on here. You'll see that quite often the question changes anyway. The belief may change, may reveal a deeper one, something that's been hidden, obscured. We thought it was about something, this pattern, and it's really about something else. So the question's going to change more than likely anyway. And how do we know when we've got the right question? And here's another important question that I get asked a lot. How do I know the right question? How do I know? How will I recognize this is the question that I should be working with right now through my contemplative practice? And this is really where your body comes into it. Your body is wonderful at telling you whether you have the right question. And I want you to just, like, there's no right answer in contemplation. There's only answers. There's no right question completely that's going to blow away all of your karmic patterns in one go. There's only the right question for right now. And your body will tell you that somehow. If you kind of ask a question, is it really true I can't get what I want? Is it really true life's not fair? Is it true I can't love myself? Is it true I'm not good enough? Whatever comes into our contemplative practice, feeling that question out and noticing the subtle responses of your body and weighing two or three questions vibrationally based on how they make your body feel. So the right question for right now may have a positive response in your body, may feel a sense of excitement. Sometimes I get a sense of like a rush of energy or a sense of excitement when I'd found a good question or something just new. This is what I need to focus on, this question. Or sometimes my body would just relax for a moment as a very tangible response to a question, kind of listening to our body, watching our body, seeing what it does. And sometimes goosebumps when I found the right question for that moment. Sometimes my heart rate would go up temporarily, some kind of positive or some emotional, positive emotional response in your body. This is one of the reasons you have this body, is to begin to listen to its feedback about what you're putting attention on right now. We all know the fears, guilt, shame, tension, physical pain, and all of that that's produced from focusing on the wrong thing, a belief that we don't even know is there, focusing on phenomena in general, as we're learning in meditation. And we can begin to listen to our body and allow it to give us some reliable feedback. So when I first began this process of contemplation, if I just said to myself out loud, I am perfect as I am, at the beginning of this contemplative process, that really made me feel bad. My body showed me in some constriction and some negative emotion that I don't believe that statement at all. Even though I'd had seeings, all of that. So my body was telling me, you don't really believe that, what you've just said. And then if I turn that into a question, is it really true that I'm perfect as I am, or that I'm imperfect right now? Then that felt better vibrationally. My body gave me a better response to the question than the statement. So you're turning it into its opposite. Well, is that really true? I'm imperfect, or I'm not how I should be, or I'm not awakened enough. Is that really true? And you test that out, it will feel different in your body, that statement. Because each statement, each question is just a vibrational frequency, and it's going to resonate through the body, through the emotions. And just getting used to listening to your body, how does that feel? And then finding the right question is simply the highest vibrational question, the best response from your body in that moment. And after 5 minutes of asking that question, it might be a different question. You might get a sudden urge to go to a different question, or you might be about to ask yourself the same question and suddenly something different comes out of your mouth, and it feels good, and it feels better, and it feels higher, and it feels true, and it feels more important. There's more resonance with that. So just letting go of any ideas of what the right question is. There's no end question. There's no magical one answer to this. There's just the question that works for you right now. And you really can't get it wrong anyway. Even if you find it challenging at first to listen to your body's feedback, maybe if the body's in pain right now, or if the body's very tired or tense, it might be hard to hear, to notice, to listen to that positive feedback. And that's okay. If you can't do that right now, don't worry about it. It'll become clearer and clearer as you just stay with any question. There'll be just a sense, this is good, but this isn't quite the one that I need right now. And then just a general openness. What is the right question? And then just relaxing, and something will just pop into your brain later, as you go about your day, as you're having a coffee, oh, this might be a good one. And it's always a good idea to write it down when you get given a question. If you're out and about and you can't write it down, email it to someone or yourself, or text it, or stick it in a note in your phone, because then you want to be able to go back to it later. And when there's resistance playing, you might not be able to remember the question, recall it, because you're in a lower energy field and the question is a higher frequency. So there's no right question, just as there's no right answer. And we can relax. We're not really looking for some final epiphany anyway. There's just the right question for right now, the best question for right now. And that will change and evolve, as you've probably seen with some of the sessions that we've done. So how do you find the question? How do you select the question? And there's a couple of ways to do this. The first one is to look at the predominant negative emotions that you feel. Each karmic pattern has a mental component, an emotional component, and a physical component. And they're all kind of strung along in a row, same pattern, but different ways it's showing up in your life. So the story, the belief, is the mental component, which we then turn into a question. The emotion is the frequency that floods through the body as a result of believing that thought. oftentimes we don't even know that we believe that thought because we've believed that story, that thought for so long that we don't notice it running through our brain. We just feel the emotion of it. So we can look at our general overall attitudes to life, not to specific situations. Do you believe life is hard, life is unfair? Do you believe that you're not good enough to wake up and all of that? The first way is to look at general attitudes we may have. They're often very, very challenging to find at first. I wouldn't recommend that. The easiest way, and I'll do a separate video on this, just on this, is to look at the particular negative emotions that you feel on a regular basis. So it could be you only feel this emotion once per year, something that you feel when you're sat around the family dinner table, at Christmas dinner, or family get together you don't have very often, something you feel when you're getting on an airplane to fly, something you feel when you're at work and feeling pressured, stressed, all of that, or something that you feel regularly in a relationship with a particular person, something you feel about money, the financial situation. Oh, so it could be something we feel regularly every day or just once a year. And the amount of negative emotion is showing how much investment there still is in this story, in this belief. We're not blaming ourselves here at all. I myself had a lot of anger, a lot of jealousy, a lot of fear. My entire life, fear and anger just followed me everywhere. And I could see as I looked at this process, obviously, well, maybe not obviously now, but a whole heap of unworthiness because I couldn't seem to resolve this and wake up and unworthiness in every way it could possibly play out in my life, which I'm sure you experienced yourself too, in my relationships, in my finances, everywhere, everywhere, and my cosmos, especially in my awakening journey. So as I really looked at this, I began to see I am kind of really angry. And as I began to see my experiences are not really the cause of my anger, I'm not angry at that thing or that person or the lack of the thing I need. I am angry, and this experience is a reflection of this. There is no cause outside myself out there that's making me feel this way in here. I'm just feeling this way in here because some part of me is still buying this story. And if I really have this intensity of emotion, then it's because I really still believe this inside. And there's no blame at all. It's just this is where we're starting from. Some part of me, my egoic sense of self, is really invested in this idea still. And that's where we're going to start. And each time we contemplate, then we're going to move that. And, you know, I might start like I feel 100% believing this idea. And then each time I contemplate, it's shifting over. So what does the negative emotion say? So if I'm scared, my mind will say I'm scared because I don't have enough money, or I'm scared because I might die, or whatever. I'm scared because I've got this diagnosis, or whatever mind is trying to pin on the end of it. But really, I'm just scared. There's fear. And the cause of that fear is inside me. It's a story that I'm holding on to. So, and again, I'll go through all of the emotions in a separate video to kind of point out the stories. But for fear, when I really looked at fear, what did fear want to tell me? When I cut it off from its external physical manifestations in my life, not enough of this, too much of that, it really just said something like, I'm not safe. I am completely unsafe. I'm in danger. And something really was invested in that still for when I recognized this. So looking at your general attitudes to life, which again is a difficult way. Number two, looking at the emotion. What's the emotion you feel? Temporarily discarding how it's playing out in your life for the purpose of finding that. What does the story say, the emotion say? What's the story behind the emotion just on its own? So if guilt was a person that walked into the room and shook your hand, what would it say to you? What would it say about itself? If you said guilt, tell me about yourself, it would probably say something like, I'm just not good enough. I'm inadequate. I'm not who or what I'm supposed to be. You know, people find me out. They won't want to know me. Something like that, wouldn't it? If anger walked into the room, if you put it in arms and legs and a head, it would probably say life isn't fair. I can't get what I want. I'm blocked. Something like that. So checking out the emotions is probably the easiest way. And the third way, which is easier than the first, but perhaps not as easy as looking at the emotions, the second one, is to look at the karmic pattern itself. So years and years and years, I just couldn't seem to have enough money. I was always just breaking even or not enough. And this went on for such a long time in my life that when I actually started to look at the pattern itself, I realized that I felt completely, there was a lot of fear, as we just talked about. There was also a lot of anger and frustration. Frustration is a minor form of anger that says that I can't get what I want. It's not coming fast enough. Anger says I'm totally blocked. I can't get what I want or need to feel safe and happy. Can't seem to get that. That's kept playing out. Couldn't seem to get beyond this karmic pattern no matter what I tried, until I recognized this belief, this story in the way that I'm totally powerless over this thing that's happening. And that's how I'd come to really see my karmic patterns. I'm totally powerless. Looking at the pattern as a whole, how do I feel about the karmic pattern, the fact that it's still happening for me in that? So if I experiment a little bit, have a look at one of the patterns that's going on for you and see which you find easier to kind of find the right belief, the right story, and then the right question. So you just find that story and just being with your emotion for a moment and seeing what it wants to tell you would be hugely beneficial. You start to feel better immediately just from being with it, but also finding the real story. And none of these are conscious thoughts. They're just being so believed that they're unconscious. We're not conscious of the fact that we still believe them. We only know we still believe them by the amount of emotion and by the way they're showing up in and as our life. So for me, in my 30s, I had enough money to pay the bills just about and was getting by. And I had everything I needed to be, you know, I had a roof over my head, I had a family, all of that. It made no logical sense for me to believe still that I wasn't safe and that I wasn't good enough. And yet that was still going on for me. So a lot of this stuff will seem irrational to the conscious logical mind. And it's just letting go of judging these when they come up, recognizing that if I'm feeling the emotion, then some part of me must be still invested in this, some part of my egoic sense of self, even though I may have seen that I am the infinite self, or that I'm formless, or I may be really good at tuning into the silence. Some part of me also, the suburbs of my being, that the city has got the message, but the suburbs still is believing. It hasn't spread outwards to enough yet to the suburbs of my being, so to speak. So just contemplating that is going to allow the egoic energies to dissolve in that area. So I hope that really helps to get a deeper understanding of the right question, for right now only. And just expecting, getting that the question may change and that your body might tell you that when it's time to change. Question that seemed important might suddenly seem not so relevant. Or something else seems even more important suddenly, and your body is going to be able to, as you listen to that more and more, you're going to get more feedback on that. And you're going to get more and more used to the signs that your body's giving you, the feedback, the real-time help that your body wants to give you with this process. Because your body is a vibration. It's made of emptiness, silence, stillness, and it will vibrate. The belief, the story will ricochet through the body, just like a mantra does. and you'll get a certain feeling sense from it. And then the question will also have a certain feeling to it when you sort of feel it out in you, inside you. So just have a go. Don't overthink this. Pick a question and get started. And you might feel just intuitively guided to shift the question as you get deeper into it. You really can't get this wrong. It's just have some fun at learning the process of contemplation rather than obsessing, stressing too much over the right question. We're either open or we're closed. We're either open to experience reality or we're assuming a belief, experiencing a belief. And there's just those two states in the end. So anytime we're asking any question, we're open. With a curiosity, we're open. And we'll feel freer. We'll feel happier. And that is more important to me than finding the right question. So see you next time. Hope this has been helpful, and happy contemplating.